Now, all week long, people have been asking, who were the anti-lockdown protesters on Grafton Street in Dublin? Now, while it was a diverse group from different backgrounds, clearly many share beliefs about the pandemic that would not be the majority view and would certainly go against the prevailing scientific view of COVID-19. The growth in the belief that scientists and politicians are all getting it wrong on COVID-19 has, of course, been driven by online, where conspiracy theories and a suspicion are outright rejection of mainstream politics and media abound in some areas. So our reporter Henry McKean met some of the protesters, people from all walks of life, to hear their side of the story. He also met Dr. Lucy Michael from Fingal Communities Against Racism, who's been looking closely at COVID conspiracy groups.
I know you're not going to put this out.
You don't think I'll put it on the radio?
I can guarantee you will not put my opinion on a radio station, and especially news talk. No protesters got out of hand. I didn't see any of that. I didn't see it on RTE. I didn't hear about it on News Talk, because I don't look or listen to either of your programs, because they're not independent to this country. They are the virus. And anyone that has ever stood up and said anything negative towards them, they have been crucified, literally crucified for their opinion. And that's all it is. It's an opinion.
So what is your opinion?
What's my opinion? I believe there's a program, like Mr. Gates spoke about many times, that he wants to bring society to its knees, basically.
So are you an anti-vaxxer or an anti-masker?
I'm not an anti-vaxxer, no. But this is not a vaccine, as you know. It's not a vaccine.
What is it?
It's an experimental therapy. Or DNA experimental therapy.
And
there's nothing preventing you in the so-called vaccine from catching your so-called disease. I've been listening to doctors, specialists in that region, in disease, independent journalists, not connected with your mainstream crap that you produce.
I'm Dr. Lucy Michael, and I'm a professional on equality and diversity issues, but I'm also spokesperson for Fingal Communities Against Racism. The mainstream media would be considered to be all state-funded, but also any well-established independent media, and that would include News Talk, but also many privately owned newspapers, local and regional as well as national. Essentially anything that isn't a far-right or conspiracy site on the internet. And so what's really scary, I guess, is that there are some very highly educated, well-established professionals. In Dublin alone, we have well-known barristers and academic experts who have been drawn into these movements and are now being used as signpost leaders, I suppose, to bring people into conspiracy theory. Some of them are employed in the kinds of jobs and professions that we would see as being very much in top income earners, or at least very well above those precarious business owners who are the most at risk from these kinds of movements.
I was a protester on Saturday.
You were there?
I was there, yeah.
And what was it like when the
I got there just
off?
After the main video. I seen that happening. And like any protest, you're going to have people there that don't have anything better to do and that are there to bring it down a level, to start trouble. You've got guys that go to nightclubs that look for scraps every night. You don't stop nightclubs, you know. So these guys that might have been in there that were looking for a bit of trouble, they brought the whole thing down. But I'm there. I've been working since
so
the
ages.
So
you were there because you wanted to lift restrictions, and you.
I'm there
you
because I'm out of work
reason.
For a year now, and I think I stay quiet during the first one. I stay quiet during the second one, and I think with the third one, I think you know, and to find insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and looking for a different outcome. So what are we doing?
Dr. Lucy, I've given you some leaflets that were handed to me, and these are leaflets. Some of the ones that were handed out on Saturday on Grafton Street with that protest that ended up in a small riot. What do you think of those leaflets?
We've been working really for the last year and a half on addressing misinformation, which we saw coming up in our local areas, first attached to racism and anti-immigrant hate, but then moving as the COVID virus took hold and the lockdowns took hold, taking a grip on people's anxieties and their isolation, and particularly the youth people were making extensive use of social media and internet in ways that they never had before, to bring people into a movement that's very much about misinformation, very much about building mistrust of mainstream media, even some independent media, and of government, particularly of government, as people have become more frustrated with lockdown 2 and lockdown 3, not seeing the kind of governance and trust that we saw in lockdown 1, they've managed to play on those fears. And these leaflets you've handed me are very much reminiscent of what we've been seeing over the last 6 months as far-right groups have tried to recruit through those conspiracy theories. We started our group, Fingal Communities Against Racism, in response to a far-right figure running as a candidate first in the by-election here and then in the general election. And this was somebody who really was determined to bring an anti-immigration platform to our county and to use it as a recruiting ground. And as you know, Balbriggan has been used as that ground. Its name has been absolutely denigrated up and down the country as this place of warning where things happen because of immigrants. The point is that they have consistently tried to use that town as a warning to other people against immigration and created lies about it. So what we did was we created a whole set of election leaflets about the candidate, but we never named the candidate. So we talked about a far-right candidate, we talked about their links with European, German particularly, far-right groups, neo-Nazi groups. We talked about statements that they had made on video and at international conferences, and we made very clear what their views were, even though they were on the doorsteps saying that they weren't their views or misrepresenting themselves. And the campaign was quite successful, because people looked around to see whose statements might match a candidate, but we never gave them a platform. We never got them trending on Twitter, you know, and every radio station and newspaper we went to didn't name them either.
So don't name them.
Don't name them. You can absolutely say what somebody stands for without naming them and giving them that oxygen, particularly in these days of social media where somebody's name can become a trend in itself. Just don't name them. Well, we're still at the stage really in Ireland of learning about this. And I think, you know, if you look abroad to other countries, we see that, you know, in Germany, there have been good efforts to try and de-radicalise young people that have fallen in with neo-Nazi groups. In the UK, there was a lot of emphasis on young people who were falling in with extreme Islamist groups. But those de-radicalisation programmes haven't been extended to these kinds of white supremacist, anti-immigrant, COVID conspiracy groups. But, you know, it's the same process. When somebody becomes radicalised, they get drawn into a very extreme agenda. I worked around that area for 10 years in the UK. Some de-radicalisation programmes work, some don't. But what we're trying to do when we talk to our friends and family and pull them out of these kinds of areas, out of these kinds of theories, you know, it's domestic de-radicalisation. That's what you're trying to do in your own kitchen, in your own living room, over the phone with your auntie, is to de-radicalise somebody. And these are radical, very extreme ideas. Not just radical, but very extreme ideas. And we're trying to pull people back from the brink of that. It's very easy to say, you know, that those who are far-right actors at the top are radicalised. You know, I think we go beyond that and say they know exactly what they're doing. And many of them are making a career out of this. They're making money out of this. Some of those key far-right actors even have online merchandise shops. You know, this is absolutely about a career. And they're being funded very heavily from abroad to have this agenda. So, you know, I would be less concerned with de-radicalising those people and more with kind of being suspicious of their agenda overall. But certainly for our friends and family, we are talking about de-radicalisation.
Do you wear a mask?
That's a very private question.
And you can answer it if you want to. Well, you're not wearing one at the moment, but you're on a
bicycle. Why would I be wearing one? I'm standing in the middle of a city.
But would you wear one in a shop? Would you wear one?
That's another personal question.
Well, you don't
have
to
answer it.
Well,
I'm not going to answer it.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Are you a conspiracy theorist? And what's your view on that term?
I am a conspiracy theorist now. I wouldn't be. I do my due diligence on anything that I've been told. And especially with the state of the economy and everything else that's happened, and the health minister's tyrannical locking down of this country, and what he signed up for in the WHO.
You're not a conspiracy theorist.
Well, define what that means. The way I look at it is, when you hear one person saying something, you might turn around and go, "Oh, conspiracy theorist." But then you have to keep your mind open. There's two sides, three sides to every story. There's your side, my side, and the truth. You know, and there's studies to support both sides. You know, you just have to pick the generation of them studies. And I'm sure some studies go back old, some studies are more modern. You know, but the more modern ones just aren't being taken seriously.
there are other marches coming up. Would you go and go?
I don't know of all the marches, but you can bet your ass on Paddy's Day I'll be in there. That's what Paddy's Day is about. It's about being proud of being Irish, and right now I'm not proud of being Irish. Right now I'm not proud of the way we're handling this situation. So Paddy's Day, will I be in there? 100% I'll be in there. And it's not about being an anti-masker. That's the minute you go into something like that, you're deemed one of these anti-maskers.
You're not. You haven't been radicalised.
Or wear a mask, because as I said, I am concerned about other people, but I am not concerned about myself. You know, so it's not about being an anti-masker or anything like that. It's not about being anti-vaccine or anything like that. It's me going in there to fight what I believe in, and that's just it.
Any of your listeners who are small business owners, you know, we have great sympathy with you in that, because right up and down Fingal, we've got small businesses in all of our towns, Balbriggan, Rush, Lusk, Portmarnock, Swords, all over the place, who are shut. And for small business owners, it's a really precarious time. You don't know when your business is going to open again. You don't know if the kids are going back to school. You're struggling to manage stock, customers. You know, just the anxiety of being a small business owner at any point is ramped up. And what we have to remember, of course, is that far-right groups play not just on those who have the very least, but also those who have the most to lose. And small business owners have always been a target for groups like this, because they always feel in times of recession or times like this that they have the most to lose. So you're a target audience for a group that really want to pull you into a very extreme agenda.
Do you know the size of the virus that it is that they're trying to stop you from using a clawed face? What, do you know what size it is? It's minute. Mosquito and a fishing net over your face. It's stopping nothing. But you're still being told to use it because it's in your face. The pandemic, the scamdemic, is right in front of you because everyone's wearing the mask. So it's progressing. It's progressing everyone's fear. And that's why they're forcing you.
But like, as you speak, little bits of spit come out of your mouth by accident.
Yeah.
And I know it, we can't. And I know the mask doesn't completely stop that.
It doesn't stop anything. It doesn't. What are you saying, completely? It stops nothing.
We saw that the groups that we were challenging, far-right groups in Fingal that we were challenging, were moving into COVID conspiracy theory as soon as they saw that their propaganda wasn't working in this area.
So they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Not just jumping on the bandwagon, it is their bandwagon. This is their pathway to draw people in. So many people will say to me, look, conspiracy theories aren't about racism. But if you look at QAnon, if you look at the conspiracy theories around COVID, many of them are around immigrants, around migrants. And we saw our own Lord Mayor of Dublin, Hazel Chew, targeted with the idea that she was part of a reptilian elite. That is a QAnon conspiracy theory that is deeply anti-Semitic. Many people thought it was anti-Chinese against her, and there has been many anti-Chinese slurs against her, unfortunately. But this one is a specific QAnon conspiracy theory, and we saw it play out in the beliefs of people who were reported from Grafton Street on Saturday. And yet this is the point about the internet rabbit hole. People are reading theories and becoming more and more convinced by them. And they say, well, these theories aren't problematic. They're not racist. They're not biased in any way. They are a gateway into those much more extreme groups and those much more extreme theories. Because once you start to distrust media like News Talk, RTE, The Irish Times, and so on, then where do you turn? Well, you might turn to other independent, smaller, local, regional papers and so on, but the far right and these COVID conspiracy groups have also attacked those. So mainstream media means anything that's not their approved sites and groups.
So what do your friends think of your views? Do they agree with you? Do they feel that you've gone down a rabbit hole?
Me going down a rabbit hole? Of course not. I mean, there's no rabbit hole to go down. It's blatantly obvious that there's a criminal act going on here. All this information, right? There you go.
Can I keep it?
Of course you can.
So you're giving me some information here. Yeah. It's a science there update.
There you go.
Thank you. And you've got these printed up.
And all this information, you see all this? This is not propaganda. This is not chasing down the rabbit hole, like you put it. This is common knowledge.
Do you believe this?
I believe it. Yes, of course, because it's the truth. I believe that the Irish government are responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths in this country, and they will be brought to justice in a world court, like a Nuremberg trial.
One thing we do know with any kind of radicalisation, and we are talking about radicalisation here with conspiracy theories, is that fact and reason don't work. So narratives do. Talking to people about how these things have had an impact on their family or on their communities, those things work. Human stories work. Giving a platform on a national radio station or a newspaper or TV station to somebody who's a part of a great reopening event. That kind of stuff gives them oxygen, allows them to recruit. Going and covering something like that without naming them actually takes some of the wind out of their sails. So it's a balance for media. It can be tough to get right, but there is loads of expert resources out there, because this, of course, has been done in Europe for decades now, undermining neo-Nazi groups, and it is exactly the same playbook that they're using. So it's tempting to say, you know, this is COVID, it's different, but it's not different. This is exactly the same kind of arguments and the same kinds of conspiracy theories that we've seen worldwide that are coming into our shores in Ireland now.
Do you feel perhaps that maybe you'll look back in years to come and think, oh, I believe that stuff on Facebook?
Well, if I don't take the vaccine, I will have that choice. I will have the choice to look back, because if I do take a vaccine, I won't be long on this planet.
Are you sleeping at night?
Very comfortably, thank you.
But how could you sleep at night if you think that?
I worry about my children, that's about it. And my family, obviously.
And what do you do for a living?
I was a carpenter until this all happened.
But you do hope to get work again?
I know I will get work again, because I'll be the only one to work. Because you're all going to take your vaccine that you're being programmed to take, and you're all going to end up dying from it.
We know that many people have been drawn into extreme right groups through Facebook's algorithms, for example. But it's also true that people are looking at these theories and saying, where do I find out more? And once they find out one group that does it, they get taken into others again and again. So social media companies can definitely do more, but so can news outlets in making sure that they expose what's underneath these movements and show how dangerous they are, without platforming the key actors and giving them profile.
If a family member has been drawn in, how do you win them over?
I would say very gently. The first thing is that they will not be convinced by your arguments that that they shouldn't be on the internet or that they're being silly. I mean, the first thing is absolutely...
Don't say you're being silly.
Don't say you're being silly. But don't try and reason them out of it either immediately. The first thing is that they feel that you listen. So start with that. Anna, we would talk about empathetic listening. So being human with somebody, but not sympathetic. So don't allow them to push their ideas on you. Because once they start to think that you're sympathetic to their ideas, they'll simply try to recruit you into believing the same thing too. And I don't mean formal recruitment, but just in trying to pull you their direction. So empathy rather than sympathy. And so that they feel that you're somebody that they can talk to. They're clearly feeling isolated, under pressure, segregated, and they're turning to groups that are listening to them and giving them explanations for what's happening. None of us know why this virus is going to change the world in the way that it has. But pick up the phone and check in with people and say, you know, are you okay? And don't argue back on Facebook. If you see somebody posting this stuff on Facebook, give them a call, have a private message with them, arrange a chat, you know, when we're allowed, go for a walk with them. But don't argue back on Facebook, because that really is a way to drive them away from you, and then you lose that opportunity.
All right, that was Dr. Lucy Michael from Fingal Communities Against Racism, ending Henry McKean's report on domestic radicalization. Now, of course, everyone who opposes the government, not everyone is radicalized, but for people who've seen a close family member or a friend go down this particular rabbit hole of conspiracy theories online and then take up extreme beliefs around COVID and other issues, it can be deeply upsetting to witness all of that. So if you have experienced this personally, do get in touch and tell us your story.